Jelly is just a fun, silly girl. Beyond that, she just wants to have fun, and she wants to kind of play with people a bit and play with their heads and kind of have some, she has some tricks and stuff, and wants to, yeah, she just like is looking for a good time.
It's so much fun. I think you hit the nail on the head there. And one of my favorite things about it too is it's such a defined visual aesthetic too, with the red coloration. How did the red come to you? You just decided to use red?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, originally, I think I was a bit more shy about it. I was a bit more like red with black and white was like the original kind of concept. But then the more it kind of came to fruition, I was like, no, I don't, I just want red. I don't want anything else. Like maybe occasionally white, but actually now I'm welcoming primary colors like yellow and blue. But yeah, it is very red. And I just think it made a lot of sense for the music and for Jelly because it's just really bold and in your face. And it's also like very classic. It's not like bright purple or like some like weird it's a classic color. So I liked it for all those reasons.
Drawing from a beautiful tradition. Sonically, I read somewhere that you kind of wanted a beautiful combination originally of Kate Bush and Animal Collective, somewhere there that meets in the middle. And then it was eventually in the middle between experimental music and pop music. Can you talk about finding that beautiful sweet spot for the type of music that you make?
Yeah, I think essentially what we're trying to find, like I wrote this record with Sean Guerin. He has his own band called Deluxe, and kind of where we're always trying to find ourselves within music is like we want something catchy and we want something, but we want it to be weird still. We don't want it, yeah, that's the compromise. I think like maybe occasionally pop music is like catchy, but it doesn't feel like it's very like clean or it's very same same. It's always like very similar to each other or whatever. And like, so that's like, we didn't want to do that, but we still wanted to keep the catchy part and like the hooks and like all of that kind of stuff. But then, yeah, and then, but we always ask ourselves like, how can we make this more interesting, or how can we spice it up? And I think that you can hear all that like playfulness on the record, whether it's like a bear attack like being played in the background during this like instrumental, or like the end songs like with Bonk, or like with just silly silly things that we find, or like yeah, or just yeah. But everything's still within this like kind of machine that just like keeps going.
Process, because it sounded like a lot of fun. One of my favorite anecdotes was Piss Artist, the story behind Piss Artist. Can you delve a little bit into how that song came about?
Yeah, so Sean wanted a song. He thought it would be fun to record a song with me drunk. He doesn't drink, so he has no idea like what that really entails. Like he doesn't, because like that could go very wrong. But you know, that's very much in the process of jelly anyways. Even if it did go wrong, it probably would have been fine. But like what ended up happening was like I got a bottle of tequila or something. I think, yeah, it was tequila, and I got some soda water, and but then I was just drinking by myself, and I was like, I was just not, I think he expected me to be like fun and like like want to do like sing crazy things or something, but instead I just like wanted to talk. And so I ended up just like we just recorded ourselves talking, and I had like done a story on Instagram that day where I asked like friends of mine, like, tell me your favorite drunk story of me, like. And so I'd been kind of ripe with like stories in my head, but what's funny is like, I mean, I like the recording on the song is literally true. I'm literally telling Sean, oh my god, did I tell you about that one time? And because, and like it's funny also that like that story didn't come up that day. Like I had gotten like 50 stories told to me, and that one wasn't brought up, which is crazy because it's like so it's such a good story. But yeah, and I just think my storytelling of it is pretty hilarious. We obviously like edited it a bit, but honestly it's pretty intact. And yeah, it was just fun to kind of create a song around like a narration of a story, and kind of like I feel like it feels really alive. Like I feel like you're in it when I'm telling the story. Like we kind of have like these sounds and like these background singing, and like it kind of, I mean, to me it feels like a musical, which I grew up watching musicals, and like I love musicals, so it kind of hits like that, like because like we sing a chorus, but then like we go back to it like telling a story, and but it's still catchy and it's fun. So yeah.
The floor is on the bed.
Yeah.
Oh my god, did I tell you about that one time that like I peed in a glass jar and like in a room full of my friends? We were so fucked up. It was like, we were like, that was the night I met Selby. Dana was always my favorite party girl. She always knew how to party, have a party, be at a party. She was just the quintessential cool girl. Beautiful curly hair. Don't give a fuck attitude. I don't know. We were just all hanging out in Dana's room, kind of pre-partying in her room before the party. And the floor is on the bed. The floor is on the bed. I don't know if I took my shirt off first out of the girls or something, but it was especially when, fuck, oh, I'm so dumb, I can't fucking remember her name right now. Patty was big tits and nipple piercings. Adam used to call her the Emerald Lady. I'm so rude, what's her name? Once she took her shirt off, it was like, oh, everyone can take their shirt off.
I'm so glad you brought up musicals and stuff, because you have a background in like dance and theater as well. How does that inform your musical project?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually not really a dancer. I worked for a dance company. I was in the band, and I was also a program director. So I was around a lot of good dancers, and I always wanted to be a dancer, but I was just such a, I was so focused on like music, and yeah, I did some musical theater, but it was always like choir and orchestra and just a lot, like private lessons, and it was, so I couldn't do too much of the dance stuff, but I knew that I wanted to incorporate dance and like kind of theater and props and all these things, because I don't know, I just, I was making different kind of music before, and it was more singer-songwriter based, and it was just like a band, and I was like the lead singer, and I'd been in bands previously, and I don't know, I just wanted to be in a project. I wanted to make a project where it was a real experience. I wanted everything to just come to life in more than one way. I've always loved art that like speaks in different mediums, like even though it's truly good music, I don't think that's like enough. I want like the full experience. I want to like be able to see it and feel it and like and look at it. And so yeah, that was kind of just the goal of the project, was like, how can we make every moment feel like really intentional and like cohesive? And yeah, and also, yeah, and just like, I wanted to make something that people like really enjoyed, and that's something I really enjoyed.
To talk about your enjoyment, actually, do you have a favorite song on the project?
It changes a lot. I mean, my favorite demos, because like I recorded like all of the demos like I made like 40 or 45 demos or something, and then I would bring them to Sean. Like, we would listen to them and then pick the ones and stuff. And I would say like my favorite demos, Bounce House, or like obviously was like right a few hours after I made that one, I was like, this one's really good. And then the only, like, so that one like came really naturally. And then, but like, I would say my second favorite demo was Pluto. It was kind of similar, where it was like that same day where I was like, because sometimes like I liked something eventually, like I would sit on it and I would be like, oh, that one actually turned out pretty good. But like the ones that were really instant were Bounce House and Pluto.
Oh man, beautiful. Those are two of my favorites on there. I mean, Normalize as well. I mean, there's so many good tracks. It's an album, like you're saying, it's an album. It's an album that I feel like the underlying theme feels like permission to enjoy life almost. Like surrendering to the happy times and you know, a pure exuberant expression of joy. How's it been to be able to experience that out in the world at your shows and things like that? How has that joy translated to the live arena?
It's really good. I mean, we started performing before the music even came out. It like the show was built in tandem with the record. And so we started built like our first show, we only played like 6 songs because we hadn't finished the record yet. But from the beginning, people have like said, even when it was like mostly just our friends and stuff going to the shows, it was like, people were like, I haven't ever experienced something like that before. Like, I'm an instant fan. Like, I had no idea who you were, you know? And obviously we're still pretty new and stuff, but like, but especially then, it's like we didn't have any music out and we were still like able to, I mean, as a longtime music listener and go and like lover of concerts and everything, it's like, I also tend to get kind of bored easily. So it's felt like a huge compliment from people to like, that we capture attention. In a unique way for people. So
it really is like catharsis through music. Hey, can't wait to be experiencing a Southern Hemisphere summer and be able to play these songs in the sun.